I'm Carol Hills. This is The World. We've been checking in every day this week with Marco Werman, who's in Kenya. He's there with our team looking across women's lives, specifically at women in business, hashtag owning it. They've introduced us to Kenyan women who are doing all sorts of things, farming, yoga, even running a savings club to stand up to poverty and try to change their world. Now, when many of us think Kenya, we think wildlife, lions, elephants, giraffes, zebras. And yes, women are working with wildlife, too. And Marco, I hear you've got a story of one of just a handful of women guides in Kenya. And this woman works in the country's great national reserve park known as the Masai Mara.
Yeah, true enough, Carol. I come to you today from the urban wildlife of Nairobi. That was a baby elephant named Boromoko leaving its grazing area, returning to its cage. I'm at the David Sheldrick Elephant and Rhino Orphanage. It's just outside the capital. Here they're saving baby elephants, rhinos, giraffes, who've actually been orphaned when their parents have been killed by poachers. They're saving them one animal at a time, and many of the orphans are from the Masai Mara, just a way to kind of set the mood for the real game drive we're about to take in the Masai Mara. Our Across Women's Lives video journalist, Ann Bailey, is reporting this one. And Ann, you've been chasing the story about Sophie Sadera for a while, one of a handful of women game drivers in Kenya, in all of Kenya. You finally got to meet her last week. She works on the extraordinary plains of the Masai Mara. And just set the scene for us. Describe this universe she lives in.
It's really pretty incomprehensible, Marco. When you first arrive and you look out on these plains, you see all these little dots that are basically desert date trees. And Mara, actually in Maasai, means spotted. And that's where this name Mara came from, the spotted plain.
And some of those spots are trees and some of those spots are animals. So tell us what you saw.
Yeah, so I went out with Sophie and she picked us up early in the morning. We did an early morning game drive. And when the drive started, we all said kind of what animal we wanted to see. You know, I wanted to see an elephant or a lion. Isis, who is another member of our team, wanted to see a cheetah, which was a little bit rare. But we ended up seeing all those things.
Tell me about the moment with the cheetah.
Yeah, it was kind of up on a little hill, hanging out and casing the area, looking for its next meal.
So Sophie, we just saw this cheetah walking, and it's now kind of up on this mount. How common is that to see a cheetah?
They're looking for food. You'll see them sitting on top of termite mounds. Or cheetahs are very scared of getting injured. Might be looking for the place just to make sure that it's safe before it moves on.
Is a cheetah like this just traveling on its own? Are there other cheetahs we're just not seeing right now?
Cheetahs are solitary. You'll see them by themselves. Not unless you see a coalition of two or three brothers together. Or a mother with the cubs.
Right after that, we actually saw this cheetah take down an impala. And the way that it's stalking these impala was just incredible. And from a distance, we were able to see it kind of hunker down, and then it just went for it, and it got one.
Now, people can see this later at PRI.org in the video, but at one point you encounter some elephants and they're not going to let you pass by them. Tell me about that.
We were driving down the road. Sophie pointed out that there were some elephants far up, so we just kind of parked and waited to see what they would do. And they all kind of slowly converged onto the main road that we were on and that the other safari vehicles were on.
Yeah, they have the right of way. We have to respect them and give them the way.
So how do we know that they're not angry with us right now?
Actually, you can tell. When they get angry, you'll see them like shaking their heads or flapping their ears rapidly. Then you can tell they're not happy, and then you'll just move back and give them way.
And so right now the front one there, is she not happy with her ears are kind of flapping a little bit? So at the time when the elephants were coming, Sophie was very, very calm. But later that night, I sat down with her, and she did say that encounter was a little bit too close for her and that we really needed to not have been quite that close in.
All right, let's hear some more of that conversation. And you asked her how she got into game driving and what her family thought about it when she was a kid.
I must say that my mother has worked very hard for me to, like, start schooling because she educated me, like, from zero to where I am at the moment. But after high school, I just wanted to go and study more about wildlife. And then my mother was like, no, when you study wildlife, what do you like to be? I like to be a guide. And then she's like, no, that's a man's thing. Do you think you can do it? And then I was like, yes, I think I can do it, because if they are doing it, I will also do it. At the moment, I must say that she's the happiest mom.
Has she been on a safari with you?
My younger brother and sister, they have been on safari, but my mother not yet. one day.
So you went to guiding school for about a year.
Yeah.
And how many women were in guiding school with you compared to the number of men?
The whole class, we were 23 students in that class, and 7 of them were ladies. And I know we are only 3 of us. And then the rest, it's kind of they have given up due to discouragement from people, or some of them get married and then their husband kind of discourage them. That's a man's thing. Why don't you do something better? And I know of most of them that they are doing teaching.
So we took another safari this afternoon with another female safari guide, Charity, at a different camp. And one of the things that really struck me was that both of you know every other female guide in the Masai Mara area. And one of the cool things that you said was that both of you at some point have had kind of a negative experience with either a client who didn't want to go out with you because you were a woman, or, you know, fellow guides even who were kind of not super supportive of you.
One of the guests from a different vehicle came and say, "Oh my God, are you driving? You're so tiny. We barely see you on the steering." And I was like, I wasn't happy about it because she was saying that to me in front of my guest. But at least my guests were just really happy about it. And then they were like, "She's very smart."
I mean, I have to say, between you and Charity, I felt incredibly calm out on these safaris today. And you both were just so knowledgeable about what was going on. You had said that you also work a little bit with girls, trying to get younger girls to be interested in science or to possibly think about becoming a guide.
Mm-hmm. Here in the Maasai community, many girls, they get married off at a very early age. Some of them can just finish unit 8, that's in primary level, and then they kind of, "I'm done." And then they go off and get married. But I always go and try and encourage them. That's not enough for them. They have to study more, maybe study sciences. But most of them, when they see you like driving guest, when you ask them, "What do you like to be in future?" They say, "I love to be a tour guide like you." Even if you get married by whoever who will be working, it's also good for you to have something or to have a job of your own.
Sophie, thank you so much. It was really incredible meeting you.
You're most welcome next time.
That was a wonderful interview, and I am so envious of your experience. But, you know, just driving out to Masai Mara, I got to see zebras and warthogs and elephants and giraffes. I even caught a glance of a lion's mane from the distance. So, listeners, you got to experience Sophie's world and the wildlife in the Mara at PRI.org. Gorgeous pictures. Check it out. What a place. What a simply incredible part of the planet. So lucky to have even tasted that. And remember, you can see what was going on there at PRI.org in a fabulous video that Anne produced. Anne, thank you so much for telling us about Sophie Sidera.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Marco.
I'm Marco Werman in Nairobi, Kenya. Sophie Sidera, she definitely owns it. We're going to be back later in the program with more Owning It, a woman who's making it in comedy, and a musical surprise from a local singer who's given a Swahili treatment to a great song that's sitting at number one on the U.S. charts for the 7th week in a row. You'll definitely want to stick around for that. You're listening to The World.